Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
We are continuing our series on the life of Joseph. And Joseph was a man of integrity. Before we dive into Genesis chapter 39, I want to show you a short clip from the movie Courageous. It's about a minute long, and the main character is Javier. And so, gentlemen, if you're ready, go ahead and roll that for us.
Carries more responsibility, but it pays more. Sound like something you might be interested in?
Yes, I would.
But before I make my final decision, I'd like for you to work a shift in that department next week. You'll see a list of 17 crates coming in on this sheet. One of those crates will be going to a separate warehouse. Mr. Martinez, when you report the inventory, I'd like for you to report that we received 16 crates.
17 are coming in, but you want me to write down 16?
Yes, that's right. I have another purpose for the extra crate. You are on my team, right? Because I really can't use people who aren't on my team. Tell you what, you think about it tonight and give me your answer in the morning. Make it 10 o'clock. But I need to know if you really want this job.
Good evening, sir.
You walk into a gas station or you go into the grocery store and the cashier gives you more money back. This is pre-COVID because none of us have cash right now, right? It gives you more money back than what you should have received. You're walking along the sidewalk and you see a wallet there. And so you pick up the wallet and you clearly see there's an identification, a license there in the wallet. But there's also $200. What do you do? You work for a large insurance company and your boss wants you to make some unethical changes to some policies to benefit the company. What do you do? There's a big test coming up and you are not prepared, but some of your friends have found the exact copy of that test from last year. What do you do? See, Javier here, he has a choice. He has gotten the job. His wife stays at home. And he wonders, if I don't have this job, how will I feed them? How will I take care of my family? How will I pay my bills? What will my wife think? So these are some of the things going through the mind of Javier. And as we turn over to Genesis 39, here's the question. Is what does a man or woman of integrity look like? And what does the Bible have to say about us having integrity? And so in verse 5, this is what it reads. It says, from the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Now, all of his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Now, wouldn't that be a good problem to have? That you have someone taking care of everything and all you have to worry about is what kind of food you're going to eat. My wife would go, amen, I like that. I want that job right there. Your only decision is, do I have ice cream tonight? Do I have a steak medium well or medium rare? Not well done, because we all know that's sinful. You know, that would be your only problem you would have. And that's the kind of man Joseph was. He was one that Potiphar, who worked for Egypt, who wasn't a Christian. Of course, neither was Joseph at this point in time, right? And he wasn't a Christian, but believer and a follower of God. And so what would you do? And Joseph has all this under his control. Now, if you're new here with us, newly watching, and you're wondering, okay, what's kind of going on? Joseph is the youngest of 11. He'll eventually be the youngest of 12, but he's the youngest of 11. He's favored by his father. He's his father's favorite, which is not always wise to do. And you've probably heard of Joseph, the coat of many colors. That's this Joseph here. And his brothers hate him. His brothers are older. They're in their 20s, 30s, maybe even 40s. And Joseph was kind of difficult. He had some dreams that were prophetic that he told his brothers. It involved his brothers, who were already jealous of him, bowing down to him. They didn't like that very much. And one day he goes out, he's sent by his father to go find his brothers. They're taking longer than what they should have taken. And they see him coming, and they're like, the dreamer is coming. Let's kill him. Whew. You talk about family issues. They wanted to kill him. One of the brothers convinced him to throw him in this dry cistern instead, because he is our brother overall, however, and why would we want to kill him? And so let's just throw him in the cistern with the idea of getting him back and taking him out later. Well, they end up selling him, their own brother, their half-brother, still their brother, into slavery. He is purchased by Potiphar, and that's where we find Joseph here today. We could have seen Joseph blame God, because seen Joseph angry with God, but that's not what we see. We see Joseph is one who was trusted. You know, it's tragic when you live in a world where people tend to be more shocked when someone does right rather than taking advantage of an opportunity. You can turn on the news and it seems that there are many stories of those who have a lack of integrity. Sometimes it's teachers in which we trust have a lack of integrity. Sometimes it is a police officer that has a lack of integrity. Sometimes it is a politician. Never mind, we already kind of knew that, didn't we? Sometimes it is someone that we expect to do what is right, but they end up doing wrong. It could be a close friend. And hey, sometimes it's a preacher, right? It always breaks my heart when you see a preacher, someone who's well known, or even just well known in a community, that they break the trust and they show that they didn't have integrity, a lack of integrity. You see, if I had to put a definition on integrity, it would be this. It's when your beliefs match your behavior. When your behavior matches your beliefs. That's what integrity is. And Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a man that could be trusted. See, integrity is one of those main ingredients that is missing today. It really is. Situation, ethics, and a lack of teaching about moral absolutes has contributed to a decay in our world. Not just our world, but also in our country. And it's the idea that, well, some truth may be truth for you over here, and then there's a different truth for someone over here. And that's what our enemy wants to think. He loves to cause confusion, but the fact is, all truth, I want to say it again, all truth is God's truth. And there is absolute truth. But we've been taught, we've heard, that there's no moral absolutes. There's no moral absolutes. It simply goes against the Word of God. You see, honesty and wholeness of character have become optional. They've become optional. And I'm glad for the men and women in our church, the men and women that have been in my life, that have taught me how important integrity is. You see, God is looking for men and women to rise up, to be men and women of their word, to be men and women of integrity. You see, a measure of a man's character is what he would do if it would never be found out. I told this story before, but I'll tell it again. You know, it's kind of fresh in my mind. Some of you are learning how to drive, driving on your own for the first time. My daughter has her driver's permit, and she's getting there. She'll eventually be driving on her own. And I remember when I got my driver's license, and I remember my mother telling me, you know, Lucas, you're going to be able to go to places that I'll never know that you go. You'll be able to do things that I may never find out what you do. But, Lucas, I know that you're a Christian, and I know this. God will always know what you do. You can fool your mama. Not often, but you can fool your mama sometimes. You can fool the preacher. You can fool other people. You can fool your spouse. But, listen, you can't fool God. And Joseph, he lived in Egypt, and Egypt always represents the world in the Bible. And Joseph, he was no longer at home. He's around 17 to 19 years of age right here, and he's far from home. No one knows who he is. He could do whatever he really wants to do, but we don't see that. We don't see that. There was not a single person that would have known. No one to tell his brothers, no one to tell his father. And yet, Joseph lived with integrity. See, people with integrity expect to be believed. They also know that time will prove them right and are willing to wait. It's been said that when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. If there's any few verses that really capture a life of integrity is when David said in Psalms 15, he asked God a question, who can dwell in the sanctuary of the Lord? Check this out. It's in Psalms 15. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who can have fellowship with you? And God wants fellowship with you. He does. And the answer is, he who walks blameless and who does what is righteous. I added integrity here. Who speaks the truth from his heart? Integrity. And has no slander in his tongue? Integrity. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow men? Integrity. Who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord? Integrity. And I love this part. But who keeps his oath even when it hurts? Even when it will cost you? Integrity. Who lends his money without uttering and does not accept a bribe against the innocent? Integrity. He who does these things will never be shaken. I want you to notice, God is looking for men and women who will be just that. That even when it may hurt, to keep your word, integrity. We've heard it said before that years ago that sometimes just between man to man a handshake would do. Why was that? They had integrity. But now there are certain things you have to get lawyers for, you have to get it on paper for, and I'm not saying there's not wisdom in that. But what's going on? A lack of integrity. There's four great principles concerning integrity here in the life of Joseph. Here's the first one. Is a man of integrity can expect the devil's attack. He can expect the devil's attack. In verse 6, here in it says, so Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility. He has this responsibility. He is over all of this in which God has given him, but he's getting set up. Something's getting ready to change. And it says that Joseph was very handsome. He was well built. He was easy on the eyes, is what some might say. But Joseph had an issue because Potiphar's wife had the googly eyes for Joseph. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. She liked Joseph. And you can be absolutely sure that there is always someone willing to do the devil's work. Jesus said this when it came to our eyes and what we look at. He said, you have heard that it was said of the days of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. This is where Jesus goes even further with some of this, and I'll explain. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. What's going on here? Jesus is saying that you look at someone to lust after them, it's like committing adultery in your heart. He took it to another level. Then Jesus says something that can be quickly confusing of, if your eye is causing you to sin, pluck it out. I don't know about you, but I like my eyes. There's not a one of us here that has not looked at someone lustfully. So what do we do? It says, you know, if your right arm is causing you to sin, cut it off. Well, I like my hands. I don't want to cut it off. Jesus is using a hyperbole. He's using an exaggerated metaphor here to show you and I, there's some things that may be in your life that you need to cast out and get rid of that are causing you to sin. He's not literally saying, take your eyeball out. He's not literally saying, cut off your hand. But he is saying, there may be some things you need to get rid of in your life. Listen, Christian, you cannot watch X-rated material and be a man or woman of integrity. You must guard your hearts by placing limits on what's allowed to enter through your eyes, through your eye gate. You must be careful about what you read. You need to be careful. If there's an app on your phone that causes you to stumble, and maybe the app's not bad within itself, but there's so many extra junk that gets thrown on apps these days, maybe you need to delete it. Say, but I like it, but it's causing you to sin. It's causing you to stumble. What is Jesus telling us in this passage? The principle, get rid of it. Delete it. Cut it off. And so maybe there's something on your foot. Maybe you need someone to help you. Maybe you need an accountability partner. Maybe that's your spouse. Maybe that's your best friend. Maybe it's someone who's spiritually mature. There's things that you can put on your tablets and phones. And there's things I try to put on for my family to keep them from stumbling and coming upon certain things. Cut it out. Get rid of it. Be careful about what you read. You know, romance novels. A preacher, I like my romance novels. Usually women typically read, what is that? It's pornography for the mind. Be careful of what you put into your mind. It can cause you to stumble. And rest assured, there's always something or someone that is willing to do the devil's work. See, a person of integrity can expect to be attacked. And man, Joseph was. Notice with me in verse 8. Verse 8 up here on the screen. There we go. But Joseph refused, says, look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. Continue on. There's verse 9, 10, and 11, 12, on down the line. We'll get there. All right, I know I have it up there. Go ahead and go to the next screen. All right, I'll read it. And it says, no one here has the authority more than what I do. And so he held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. And you could... How could I do such a wicked thing? It could be a great sin against God. And she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her. And he kept out of her way as much as possible. And one day, however, no one was around. And when he went in to do his work, she came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. And Joseph tore himself away. But he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. But when he saw that she was holding his coat and he had fled, she called out her servants, and soon all the men came running. Temptation is common to all. We all have been tempted. Temptation itself is not a sin. Even Jesus himself was tempted. What we do with that temptation is up to us. I love what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says. There we go. No temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So what are you tempted by? I want you to know God wants to help you. God wants to help you. I don't know what it could be for you, but I want you to know God wants to help you. He wants to help you be a man and a woman of integrity. He wants you to be a young man or a young woman of integrity. He wants that for you. He'll give a way of escape. And what did Joseph do? We see Joseph, he refused immorality. He refused it. He tried to stay away from her. He tried to do his job. He was in a place where he couldn't completely run away, but he tried to be in situations where, you know, he wasn't alone with her. And that'd be wise for us as men as well, men and women. Try to, you know, you don't need to be alone with someone other than your wife or your spouse. He also resisted. He resisted immorality. And then he ran. He ran from it. He got away from the house. He got away from it as quick as he could. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 5, King Solomon gave some wise advice to his children, to his sons. Now, he didn't always follow the advice, by the way. He had 700 wives, which you know what that means, as the old joke goes. That's 700 mother-in-laws. That's a lot of mother-in-laws. But he said, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. And it'll be wise for us to pay attention to this morning as well. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment, and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. I don't have 6, 7, and 8 up on here, but I'm going to read you the rest of 6, 7, and 8 here. It said, for she cares nothing about the path of life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say to you. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose honor. So we see there's something to lose. You'll lose honor. You'll lose integrity. You will lose to merciless people all you've achieved. So there will be wealth in which you lose. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. And in the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You say, amen. There's a loss of honor, there's a loss of happiness, there's a loss of wealth, there's a loss of health. 1 in 3 that are sexually active outside of marriage have an STD. That doesn't get talked about much because who wants to talk about such things, but it's the truth. That God is not anti-sex. In fact, God invented it. He is for it within the realms of marriage. God knows what is best for you, what is best for me. He made us. And He knows when we go outside the boundaries in which He has set up, that He calls holy and He calls good. He knows outside of it, it brings destruction. It brings hurt. It brings pain. And Joseph here, he could have took advantage of Potiphar's wife and the opportunity which was laid before him. But he decided, you know what? This is not my wife. I'm not going to do what this wickedness in the sight of God and the sight of man. He decided he was going to honor the Lord in this area. This is a big one. This is a big one in our society and even in our churches today. Will we honor God sexually? A man of integrity, a woman of integrity will. You will. You'll focus on it. Maybe you've tripped up. Maybe you've given in to temptation. You need to get on the right path of how God has set up before it's too late. God is for you. He really is. Believer, He loves you. You are in the family of God. He wants to see His children live right and do right. Joseph was that kind of man. See, a man of integrity will be despised by those who have none. Notice with me in verse 14 through 20. She called out to her servant. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed." So she's a liar. And when he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away. But he left his cloak behind with me. And she kept the cloak with her until her husband came. And then she told her husband, she told the story. Notice how it changes. "The Hebrew slave you brought into the house, he came in and to fool around with me. I thought he was trying to rape you. Now he's just trying to mess with you. But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." And Potiphar was furious, and when he had heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her, so he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoner was held, and there he remained. Man, you talk about Joseph. If he's one of the ones that you would say, man, if he didn't have bad luck, he would have no luck at all. I mean, other than being a 17, a little bit maybe spoiled, teenager at the age of 17, his brothers wanted to kill him. He's thrown into the cistern. He's sold into slavery. He gets into a pretty good situation. And now he's falsely accused because he's trying to do right. He's trying to have integrity. And he's thrown now into prison. Whew. How many of you would be mad at God? I think I would be. But God, what did I do to deserve this? You see, a person of integrity will be despised by those who have none. And you may choose to have integrity, and yet you get fired from your job. You may choose to have integrity, but someone ends up lying about you. That's what Joseph is experiencing. It is not fair. But notice this. I love where this Bible verse, this passage is positioned. In verse 21 through 23, "But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love." Before we go even further, Christian, if you feel like you're doing everything right and you've had to make some hard decisions to be a person of integrity in your marriage, in your business, at your workplace, in your community, and you're like, "I think everything just seems to be against me. It's like God is working against me." Just because not everything is going your way doesn't mean God is against you. It could be that God is setting you up for something else in the future. And it's a great reminder that even when we do right, because of who we live for, because of who God is, "But the Lord was with Joseph." What a comfort. What a comfort to know. Just as when we read Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It doesn't say he is a shepherd. No, it shows ownership. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows where you're at. He knows who you are. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison. We don't see Joseph get angry at God. We don't see Joseph curse God. We don't see him throwing a temper tantrum. No, we see that God knew where he was at. And notice what it says. Showed him his faithful love. It wasn't just, "Well, be reminded, Joseph, God loves you." No, God, I don't know how. I don't know exactly what God did, but he showed him his faithful love, and he will show his faithful love to you, and he will let you know you're not alone, that I'm going to work all of this out for my glory. So even when life is tough, even when you may be even angry with God, this morning, God will show us faithful love. And we can trust that he knows exactly where we are at, even if it's prison. You see, a person of integrity, though, they'll rise again. And it says, before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Listen, when God is with you, and even if you're thrown in prison, he'll give you the keys to run the prison. How awesome is that? God was with Joseph. And even if you find yourself in a weird, different, undeserving situation, God will work it out. See, I'm going to trust in the Lord, knowing He will work it out. Here's some wonderful Bible verses that are an encouragement for if we feel like, man, can a person with integrity rise again? It says, for a just man falls seven times, but rises up again. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. It says, better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. In Psalms, last one, judge me, O Lord, David said, King David said, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Are we willing to do that? Say, God, here I am. Examine my heart. There's something that needs to change. There's something that you don't like in me. God, show me. So here's the question. What has happened to Javier? What decision did Javier decide to make? Let's take a look.
Javi, we need this job. For the first time in a year, we're able to pay the bills.
I know, Carmen, but he made it very clear. If I was not a team player, he did not want me there.
Maybe it's not wrong. It just looks that way. He's the owner of the factory.
He asked me to write down false information, Carmen. He asked me to lie.
When do you have to give him an answer?
10 o'clock.
Javi, if he lets you go, promise me that you will call me. If you don't, then I know everything is okay. Javi, I don't want us to go back.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Martinez. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I don't know yet. Please, have a seat. I trust you've had time to think about our conversation yesterday.
Yes, sir, I did.
Now, what did you decide? Are you on my team?
Mr. Tyson, I am very grateful to have a job here. But I cannot do as you have asked.
And why is that?
Because it is wrong, sir. And it would be dishonoring to my God and my family to lie on that report.
Do you understand what this may do to your job here?
Yes, sir, I do.
Javier, may I shake your hand? Young man, you just gave me the right answer. I've been looking for someone to manage inventory and shipping, and quite frankly, you were the last person on my list. But I need somebody I can trust. Will you take the job? We'll adjust your pay.
I would be honored to, sir.
Good. Then the job is yours. Now, Walter will go over all the specifics with you, and I'll make the announcement to the staff on Monday. Congratulations, Javier. Oh, and Javier, thanks for your integrity. It's rare.
Well done, Javier. After six times, I was getting discouraged.
Sometimes what you think may be a great setback can be God's great setup. Now I want to encourage every believer, every man and woman here, every young man, young woman that is here this morning, that you will make the vow, that you will make the decision before anything you run into that, you know what, I'm going to be a man or woman of integrity. Whatever situation I get into, I'm going to trust that God is going to work it out according to His plan and not my own. That I don't have to try to work behind the scenes and make God's will work out. I'm going to trust in you. Now, maybe you're watching or you're here this morning, like, but preacher, I'm not a man or a woman of integrity. I know my life. I know I have messed up. What should I do? Can I be a man or woman of integrity that God will bless and God will be for? There's this wonderful word called grace. It's a wonderful word. It's freely given. It's unmerited favor and the love of God. You see, it's the opposite of karma. Karma is all about you getting what you deserve. We've heard it said before, what goes around comes around. And the fact is, if Christianity was based on karma, every one of us, we deserve death and we deserve hell. But God has shown grace to us. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it, but He has offered it to you and to me. And I'm thankful. There's a wonderful Bible verse in 1 John 1:9. It was written to believers. It was written to Christians, but it be for unbelievers as well, for you to come to know Christ. It says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us from all wickedness. That's the kind of God we serve. That's who He is. And He has grace for you. He has grace for me. So what should you do? Ask God for that grace. He will give it. Repent of your sins. Ask Christ to forgive you, and He will save you. He will change you. That's what His grace does. It's free for you. You can never earn His grace. You can never be good enough for His grace. You may think to yourself, well, I need to clean myself up. There are certain habits I have. You'll never be clean enough. You'll never be able to clean yourself up. God wants to save you. He wants to change you, and He will cleanse you. That's what grace does. Wherever you're at right now in your life and your walk with Jesus, wherever you're at concerning being a man or woman of integrity, man, we all need God's grace. What a wonderful thing it is. Let's pray. Father, You're calling for men and women to step up, to be men and women of integrity during a day and age which it seems to be ceasing. That our children, grandchildren, need that example of godly men and women. Our community needs that example of godly men and women that will do what is right even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't benefit us. And Your grace is sufficient, more than sufficient for us. And those who come to You, that ask for forgiveness, that ask for salvation, that ask to be born again, Lord, You save, You change, and You make new. God, I'm thankful for it. We love You, we praise You, and everyone said here this morning, amen. God bless.